One of the most dramatic moments in Parshat Korach is when Moshe Rabbeinu, let's take a look in source number one, you have the rebellion of Korach and Datan Aviram against Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe said, through this you shall know that Hashem sent me to perform all of these acts, that it was not from my heart. If these die like the death of all men, and the destiny of all men is visited upon them, that's not Hashem who has sent me. But if Hashem will create a phenomena, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them and all that is theirs, and they will descend alive to the pit, then you shall know that these men have provoked Hashem. When he finished speaking all these words, the ground that was under them split open, the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them and their households and all the people with Korach and their entire wealth. They and all that was theirs descended alive to the pit, the earth covered them over, and they were lost from among the congregation. And here's the pasuk in Ritz Hashem we will deal with today. All Israel that were around them, Nasu Likolam, fled at their sound, for they said, lest the earth swallow us. What exactly is this sound? What are they fleeing from, toward? Who's making this sound? That's the question that Emir Tzashem, one question that we're going to deal with today. Rashi notes 3a, Nasu Likolam, Bishvil Hakol, because of the sound that emerged upon them being swallowed up. Again, the question becomes, whose sound is it with them being swallowed up? And here, the art scroll in source 3b, footnotes, points out, the Lamed prefix of Likolam does not mean to hear. They didn't run to their voice. Rather, they did not flee toward the sound, but rather because of it. Nasu Likolam, because they fled from the sound of the earth. What was the sound? So the sound that emerged upon their being swallowed up is either the sound of the rupturing of the earth. That's how the Mizrahi understands Rashi, right? Famous commentator of Eliyahu Mizrahi, that Rashi is saying because of the sound that emerged upon their being swallowed up, that's the sound of the ground, right? If you've been through an earthquake, you know exactly what we're talking about. Or the sound of Korach's faction pleading to Moshe to save them. Or the screams of terror of those who stood near the spot where Korach and his colleagues were being swallowed up. These are all, Be'er Basada, these are all different options. Either the people themselves are being swallowed up or screaming. And that's exactly the Rashbam in source 2, the cries of those who were swallowed up. They're the ones screaming. The cries of the people that they're watching what's happening. The scream of the ground. What are we responding to? And what's so fascinating is something which is just two words, Nasu Likolam, has layers upon layers of depth that and many implications for our lives. I will say at the outset that this is a complicated shir. It's a very deep shir. And we need to hold on tight so we don't get swallowed up alive. Well, we'll take a look at the distinction. It's going to be four levels in total. Part one will be talking about the people that are screaming. Who are those people? What are they saying? That'll be level one. Level two, like Rashi, the ground is screaming. The ground is making the sound. What is the ground saying? What is the ground screaming? That will also have two parts, four in total. Let's begin with the people. So the Kleyukar in source number five notes the following. Mikolami by Leila Marlar. It should say they were fleeing from their voice, right? They hear the people screaming in the ground, and the people on the outside should be running from their voice, right? You hear people screaming, you want to just get out of there. Where are they running to? Hashem is everywhere. We know, Gemara tells us that later on, there was somebody who showed one of the Rabbanim a place in the earth where fire comes forth, and every month you hear the sound. If you listen, you hear them screaming, Moshe emes v'tarasa emes. Moshe is truth, and the Torah is truth, and we are liars. But also ko hitchil vaseis miyadachar ablia, v'also ko layotzei makom ablia, nasu kol Yisrael l'shmo mayitabru. The Jewish people are running to hear what are they saying, because they clearly they're doing tshuva for their sin, or they're telling everyone what their sin was, and they wanted to know what their sin was so that they would not fall into the same trap or the same hole. So Nasu L'Kolam says the Kli Yakar makes a lot of sense. They ran toward their voice. Whose voice? The people are being swallowed up. Why are they running towards their voice? Because they wanted to hear what they were saying. They wanted to hear what their sin was. And they heard them saying, Moshe MS, V'Tarasso MS, Moshe is true, the Torah is true, and we are liars. And now the Yakar Lekach Tov points out from the Yechezkel, Rav Chaskel Levenstein, that's how, is that had they come to this Hakara in 7b, had they come to this while they were still alive, so then just like B'nai Korach, they would have been saved. The problem was, they didn't do tshuva in time. And now they have to go through this purification process month after month for years to be able to recognize what they did wrong. Umata. Really, all of our sins are coming from a lack of belief. So, if we work ourselves, and that Moshe Emet and Taraso Emet, we will come to a level of truth. So this screaming out of the people was not just for that time. The fact that it's continuously happening, even if we don't hear it, we know about it, it shows us the importance of this voice for our lives. Let's just take this a little bit deeper and relevant for our lives. We know that the Rambam has 13 principles of faith. Two of the 13 have to do with the veracity of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, the bottom left source, I believe in complete faith that all the Torah that is now in possession is the one given to Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom. As well, the seventh tenet, I believe, source number 9, without reservation, the prophecy of Moshe, our teacher, Alav HaShalom was true, and that he was the father of the prophets, both those who preceded him and those who followed him. So as Rav Moshe Shapiro points out, the Sefer in Hebrew is called Ur Emunah. The Sefer in English is called Revel in Emunah. It's put out by Feldheim. Right now it's out of print. When it comes in print, it's a must-read. It's so well-written, so well-translated. It's the Hebrew of Re'e Emunah. You still get the Hebrew, I believe. And it mamish goes through the Yisod Emunah based on Rav Moshe Shapiro. And he asks the following question. He says in Source 10, we must first understand why is it essential that we accept that Moshe Rabbeinu is the father of all prophets? Why is this tenet is considered more important than the other truths of the Torah? So we know that all of the Torah is built on the foundation of these 13 Ikrim, and anyone who rejects even one of them has excluded himself from the group known as Klal Yisrael. So again, we have to ask ourselves, two of the 13 have to do with Moshe Rabbeinu and his prophecy. Obviously, it's very important. So let's try to understand this. And again, keep in mind, the last prophet, his last nevuah, Malachi says, Zichru Torah Moshe Avdi. Remember the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. What is this Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu? What is so fundamental? So let's backtrack a little bit. We'll start in source number 11. What were the Nevi'im about, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is the Av HaNevi'im. He's the father of all prophets. What was the job of the prophets? So we know the primary job of the prophets was to induce the people to repent. As the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, all the prophets called for repentance. The Jewish people will not be redeemed without repentance. Well, what does repentance really mean? What does it mean to do tshuva? Source 12. Let's imagine a person who has sinned his entire life. Where can he return to? If he embarks on a new path, that's not tshuva. He must return to Mount Sinai and the state of accepting the Torah. There, sin is not found. Thus, to the extent that we are connected to this gathering, we are separated from sin. That is why we're commanded not to forget the assembly of Mount Sinai, one of the Sheis Tchiros. Only because of the assembly of Mount Sinai is our consciousness, are we capable of doing tshuva. When we say in our tefillos every day, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecha, bring us back, our Father, to your Torah. This request for Hashem's assistance in enabling us to repent is a request to return to the Torah itself. The intent is to return to the status that we had at the time of the acceptance of the Torah. Because we know that when we recepted the Torah, our contamination ceased. We reached the level of like other Marisha before the sin. So when the Nevi'im are telling us to do tshuva, what they're really telling us is come back to the level of Mamon Har Sinai, come back to that place of purity, because indeed we know the Chet HaEgel was the root of all the sins between us and Klal Yisrael. And we have to realize that we want to return, it's incumbent us to return to the situation that exists prior to the sin of the golden calf. Now, 14, the difference between the words of the Torah and those of the prophets is the difference between truth and rebuke. The former is the foundation, while the latter comes to alert a person to repent and return to this unshakable truth. We want to reprimand someone and cause them to repent. We do it based on the truth he believes in. And the Torah is the absolute truth. Istaka baraisa uvara alma. The words of the prophets come to bring us back to that status. And this is important in general. You know, sometimes when I teach, particularly with seminary girls, sometimes when I teach, you almost feel like, not everyone, sometimes, that Torah is something like you put on and you take off. You come into class, you put on Torah clothes, and you leave class, well then you can put on whatever clothes feels comfortable. That's not Torah. Torah is us, right? The outside world you put on and off, but Torah is the essence of who we are. When the Nevi'im were telling Klal Yisrael to do tshuva, what they were saying to them is come back to your essence. Come back to the core of who you are. Come back to the essential being of what makes you you, of what creates this reality in this world. Each one of us from 15 was present at Mount Sinai. Acceptance of the Torah was for all generations. The Torah emphasizes, I'm making this covenant with those who are standing here today and with those who are not standing here today. We were all there. We're really, my friends, coming back to ourselves. That's what it's about. And this is how we are meant to understand the Rambam statement that Moshe Rabbeinu is the father of all prophets before and after him. There's no place for the words of the prophets without Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy upon which they're based. It is the ultimate truth. It's the Torah itself. Therefore, the prophets are considered descendants of Moshe Rabbeinu. Without an understanding of the power of Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy, there's no basis for the other prophets. Moshe Rabbeinu is the prophecy, as we'll see in a moment. Let's just take the idea of Torah being the essence of truth, and then we'll get back to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah is existence itself. When the Torah was given, Hashem revealed to us the true meaning of all creation. And that's the idea that all the people saw the sound. Everything that we grasp has two aspects, reality and its meaning, 15b and the asterisk. One can see something, but the meaning of what he's seeing is not clear until he thinks about it. Even after he understands the substance of what he saw, he does not see it in it what he has perceived. This comprehension exists independently. But when the Jewish people heard what they saw at Mount Sinai, they were able to understand the meaning of they were seeing with their eyes. At Mount Sinai, there's no difference between what was seen and its meaning. Its existence and meaning were one and the same. And that, my friends, will be Emir Hashem very soon in the future, where the glory of Hashem will be revealed and all flesh together will see the mouth of Hashem has spoken. When you see God's glory revealed, it'll be very clear. There's Ein Od Melvado. There's none other than Hashem. So really, my friends, and this is important for us, but in the larger scheme of things, that the part of the Yud Gimel Ikrim is teaching us that we have to believe in the fundamental principle that everything in life emanates from Torah. There's no such thing outside of Torah. You know, you hear people say, you know, seminary is a bubble. And then when you get to the real world, you have it all wrong. Seminary is the real world. The outside is the world of illusion. The outside are the bubbles that the kids, you know, play with, that is, you know, fantasy land that, you know, exists for 30 seconds and then disappears. That's the outside world. The real world is the world of Torah. It's the world of Ein Od Melvado. It's only one reality, and that's Ribono Shel Olam. And that's what the Ribono Shel Olam wants. In fact, he brings the Medrash at the top, above 16, which is very fascinating. The Medrash says, quoted by Rav Shimon, the name of Rav Shimon Chasida, in this world, if a person goes to pick a fig on Shabbos, the figs are quiet. From the time to come, a person goes to pick a fig on Shabbos, the fig will cry out in Shabbos. Each creature will give voice to its purpose. It'll be recognized with all its depth and meaning. The whole world will scream out the veracity of the Ribono Shel Olam. And now we can appreciate, my friends, the bracha we hear in the Birkos Haftarah. Blessed are you, Hashem, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Hashem, who chooses the Torah, Moshe, servant Israel's nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. The blessing that the condition needed for prophecy is Moshe Rabbeinu, his servant Israel. This is because prophecies do not consist of words that are heard from a different world. It's a revelation of the truth of existence, which itself is an expression of the words of Hashem that are in the Torah. Now, where does Moshe Rabbeinu come into this? So, another idea of Rosh Shapiro that Rabbi Tatz brings in World Math, that's absolutely stupendous. We know that when Moshe Rabbeinu was originally asked to go, he said, I can't, let me story manochi, I'm not a person of words, I'm difficult to speak. So Hashem tells him, source 17, and you shall speak to him that you should transmit the words to Aaron, you shall speak to him, and you shall put the words in his mouth, and he shall be to you as a mouth, and you'll be as him an angel. But Moshe Rabbeinu objects again, regarding they cannot speak adequately. Moshe answers, behold, I've given you to be an Elohim, again an angel, the Pyro, and Aaron, your brother, will be your prophet. And there, Moshe Rabbeinu accepts this. What's going on here? When Hashem originally says that you're to be the prophet, and Aaron is going to repeat your words, Moshe Rabbeinu says, that doesn't work, because there's a fundamental principle of faith that prophet has to give over his own prophecy, and someone can't give over the prophecy for him. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu Kivyachol. Moshe Rabbeinu Kivyachol says to Hashem, you can't make me the prophet, and then the translator, the transmitter, be Aaron, because that's not allowed. So what does Hashem say? Listen closely, my friends. It's absolutely gewaldic in 19. And Hashem's answer is illuminating beyond words. I'm not telling you to say your prophecy over to Aaron so that he can repeat it. I'm going to make you a I'm not going to make you a prophet at all. No, you will not be a prophet. You will be the prophecy. And Aaron will be the prophet. You will be the prophecy itself. Aaron will receive the prophecy, and what he says will be his own. Va'aron achicha yeh nevi'echa, and Aaron, your brother, will be your prophet. You will indeed and most literally be an Elohim, an angel of power. You're not the medium. You are the message. This is based on the father of the Rambam. Hashem was informing Moshe, as well as Rav Sadia Gaon. Hashem was informing Moshe the following, that the level of prophecies of a kind is entirely different than any other prophets. As Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam puts it, Hashem speaks to other prophets through an intermediary, through an angel, but to Moshe Rabbeinu speaks directly, and that's why we need to know, the Rambam said, lays down the fundamental principle, Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy transcends all the other prophets. Other prophets transmit the words of the divine through the medium of elevated personalities. Moshe's words are not transmitted through any medium. They are Hashem's words and himself, kivyachol, themselves. So my friends, since Moshe Rabbeinu was an entirely pure channel, therefore, Moshe emes v'tarosso emes. It's not like, you know, sometimes you have, you know, broken telephone. If any of you have ever been involved in the world of shiduchim, you know exactly what I mean. You tell a shadchan something, and the way the boy or the girl hears it is totally different than you meant it, right? The shadchan takes your words and decides what they're going to repeat over from it, and it becomes a whole different picture. That is not what's going on here. What's going on here is that Moshe Rabbeinu himself, the way Chazal understand it, is that Hashem is speaking mitokrono, from his very throat, that Moshe Rabbeinu's words are Torah itself, and Torah itself is truth itself. And the Nevi'im are able to give over prophecy that are going back to the fact that everything is coming from a place of truth, to come back to Mamad Har Sinai. And therefore, when the people are in the ground, they're screaming that Moshe's MS, Tarasso MS, when Moshe is saying something, it's not coming from him, it's coming from Torah itself, and we're the lawyers. We're the ones who are contriving things, but we have to understand, and that's how when we learn Chumash, we can't say, well, he must have made that up, or Chas HaShalom, or it's not true. No, Moshe MS, Tarasso MS. I'll just add parenthetically here, which has nothing to do with anything. Many years ago, I had a dream. Baruch Hashem, we all have dreams, and I got a lot of learning done in my dreams, or teaching rather. So in this particular dream, I was teaching why is it that when we dance on Simchas Torah, and by every hakafa we begin with Moshe Emes HaTorah Emes, because that's the key nekuda. If you don't believe in that, so you can't go anywhere beyond that. That's the foundation. Why do we lift the kids up? You ever see that? Moshe Emes HaTorah Emes? You take the kids and you throw them up in the air. So in this dream, it has nothing to do with anything. This is just a dream. That I was teaching that, why is this? Because Moshe Emes HaTorah Emes is what Korach and his followers, thus of Liram, said when they were put down beneath the ground. We are taking the very opposite polar approach. They were brought down and they were saying this. We are taking these very words as if elevating these ideas, elevating them and the message that they're saying by throwing the kids up. We're taking them at Kivyachol and raising up this important yesod so that it's apparent to all. Okay, so that's idea number one, my friends. Nasu l'kolam, they ran to their voice, the voice of the people who were being swallowed up, to learn this message, a message for us. A Moshe Emes, a Tarasa Emes, Moshe is the message. He is not just the medium of the message. Good. Idea number two on the level, idea number 1B rather, on the level of the voice. Let's begin very sweet idea of Taras Emes. Taras Emes says, you know, many people have a desire to serve Hashem that is on a higher level. How come this person is able to go to the Kodesh Kodeshim and I can't? How come this person is able to come closer to Hashem and I'm not? And here you have a kina, you have a desire to be like your friend. I also want to serve Hashem in this way. This is coming from a deep spiritual desire of greatness. And that's what was enabled Korach to bring all of these people to rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu. I think it was Yitzchak Moshe, or some Hasidic Rebbe, who knew that they were reincarnation of people in Korach's time. And he was asked, well, whose side were you on? And he said, I was neutral. And he was told, you were neutral? How could you be neutral? He said, if you were there, being neutral was already a madriga. It was so convincing. It was so, you know, it's this taiva de kedusha. It's a desire for holiness. It really, mashach rashei sanhedros. It really drew people. Mashach libem masikus hakedusha. Because everyone wants to have a higher place of connection to Hashem. However, we know in 22, Rav writes, Havodah sheishecho l'cham Yisrael sham b'fnei atzmo, shem b'fnei atzmo, mahud atzmei. We all have individual names, because we all have individual qualities, we all have individual strength. Melamedah ki gam derche havodah shekol adam shonim ish v'shareyehu, and all of our jobs are different. Omnam b'tzurak lalitav ki kol yitzur b'olam lavodit baro. Obviously, the entirety, all of us are here to serve the Ribono Shel Olam, v'lavo kol chamayim, and to create more godliness in this world. El shebitoch misgeret kol lelot zu no'ad l'chol yachim Yisrael tafkid prati. We all have our individual jobs that each and every one of us might do. So our focus isn't to be an Aaron HaKohen, as was, I think, Reb Zusha said. What would it help if I switched places with Aaron HaKohen? There'd still be one Reb Zusha and one Reb Aaron HaKohen. We have to be able to feel good about where we're at. Of course you have to grow in your Kedusha, but instead of trying to be in the Kodesh Kedushin, because that's not your role, take the tefillah that you have, take the brachos that you have, and be able within your tefillah and brachos to be able to come closer to Baruch Shalom. Take that desire, but channel it in the right way. Notes the Urch Hadash Rav Zaitchik in 23. Many people were affected by this. And in their heart of hearts, they were also questioning this. When they saw what happened, that they're being swallowed up, they realized, whoa, that was good. We didn't join them. But then, as he tchilu lahargish v'lishmo et kolam et kol atzmam, hakol acharishish mipnir talev, they then started hearing their inner voice, their conscience. Kishem mitkartim fachatim shema yatshu gam heim. Nafsu likolam. They're running. They're afraid from likolam, their own voices. The voices inside of them that said, whoa, we weren't so far behind them. What's going to happen to us? Those were the voices that they heard. Not the outside voices, but the inner voices. And he notes here, Kasher Adam Ro'el Mistakel B'Shkiyot Michsholim V'Anoshim Shalachayrim Yitpa'im Libo Kevan Shegam Hu Einenu Naki Mishkiyot V'Zdonov V'Netiyot P'Zolot. And says Rav Zaitchik, an important lesson. When you see things happening to other people, your heart has to be inspired. It has to be moved. Because if you're seeing something, it must be that you are somehow affected by this, and you need to change because of this. And this is a famous idea that Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh Rav Tversky, Rav Michal Tversky brings in Sefer Yoram HaYam, that we know by the Tzaraat, Kol HaNegayim Adam Ro'eh Chutz M'Negei Atzmo. You can check the blemishes of anybody except your own. The way the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh teaches it is Kol HaNegayim Adam Ro'eh Chutz. All the blemishes, all the challenges you see, Chutz, which means Shehem Chutzalo, that are outside of you. You know, this one is really haughty, and this one has no patience, and this one, I can't believe they said this. Menigei Atzmohem, they are the same chesronos that are found within you. What you're really seeing is a mirror. Lacheinim Adam Avchim Chisaron Badam Acher, Yida Nemana, Shalav Vidot B'toch Atzmo, B'chor Mistokim, Unso Shor Shadrim, B'toch Tachliyoto. When you see somebody else with a major fault that really bothers you. Why does it bother you? Because you have it inside of yourself. And that's where the work is. And that's where the avodah is. Okay, my friends. So we have level number one. It's people screaming. Either the people being swallowed up screaming. And that would be Moshe Mesutorosamos Vanachdu Batoim. Or the inner voice of the screaming. And that inner voice is healthy. Because that's what allows us to do tshuva. It's like life is a living laboratory. As Rav Dessler says, that everything that happens to us, everything we see, everything we apprehend from all of our senses, shluchei bari hema, they're being sent from the Ribono Shel Olam, they're a mirror for us to grow, for us to change. Things aren't haphazard. Okay. Second idea is the ground. Oh, my friends, listen closely. Rav Schlesinger begins Zosa Torah, really quoting the Tosfos Yontif idea. And he says, there's a Chiddush Gadol here. Davar Chadash, 25, Shikmoto lo haya ma'av sama olam, something new happened here that never happened before. The ground began to speak. The ground began to scream, you are going, shirdu chayim sha'ola, you're going to be swallowed up alive down to the inner depths. Now, that's pshat if a new creation is created, because the ground was already created. It was created in Erev Shabbos Ben HaShemoshos. What is new? The pi ha'aretz, the ability for the ground to speak. And hence the connection between in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos in the fifth chapter. We have pi ha'aretz, the mouth of the ground, pi ha'aton, the mouth of the donkey, next week's parasha, 2 weeks parasha that speaks. And Pia Be'er, next week's parasha, which is Ali Be'er Anula, that the Be'er sings a song. So all three P's are really mouths that open up, and that was the beauty of the intensity of the creation that was created Erev Shabbos Ben HaShemoshos, or that now is being brought to the fore. So, my friends, why were they screaming? So when Rashi says they were screaming, the ground was screaming, it's not that the ground itself made noise. As Yoslein the Torah, source we skipped, points out that the ground was silent. It just, the silent vacuum cleaner that sucked them in. It was what the ground said that was, that made the noise. Now, what exactly did the ground say to them? All right, so according to Tosfos Yontif, he said, you're going to go down alive. I'd like to take a look at two other ideas of what the ground said. To understand the first idea, let's go back to source number 6. I don't know how many of you say Perek Shira, which is the Perek Shira is very beautiful. It's a different creation. The Art Scroll and others have had, Weisberger have, artistic renditions. it's the different parts of creation, the different animals in creation, and what pasuk they say to sing Shira to Hashem. You know, just to add here, parenthetically, again, has nothing to do with anything, which is really what most people remember, so I have to be careful about those things. Be that as it may, in February, I spoke for Shabbaton, for the Chizuk Mission, for Eshet Torah, and somebody bought me a beautiful, very modern rendition of the Perek Shira. Very pretty. It was a purple cover, so I like purple. And very nice. I had never really said Perek Shira, so it went on my shelf. That was Shabbos. Thursday, somebody came from New York to visit, and they decided they wanted to bring a book. And they brought a fat book on an elucidation of Perek Shira. And it also had purple on the cover. That's what drew them as well. And I said, wow, in 1 week to get two Perek Shiras. That's very fascinating. And I looked at it a bit, and it went on the shelf. Okay? That was Thursday. A week later, the following Sunday night, I'm at a chasna. And I'm standing waiting for the chuppah to begin. Some people are milling and talking. And a woman comes over to me and says, I know somebody who had a bar mitzvah for her son, and she copied, had all these copies of Perek Shira. She doesn't know what to do with. I told her to call you. So right then and there, I went to my closest friend. I said, I told her all three things. I said, what do you think the message is? And she says, I think when you get home from the wedding, you should start saying Perek Shira, which B'chastei Hashem I've had the schus of doing. It's a tremendous school for a lot of bracha. And what's fascinating in Perek Shira in source number 6 we see is that Shemayim Omrim, this is how it begins, HaShemayim Sapim Tvo Kelma Sayyidav Marki Rakia, one pasuk for Shemayim, we'll skip over the Eretz, Gan Eden, one pasuk, Gehenim, one pasuk. And if you look through all of them, it's one pasuk. When you get to Eretz, there are two pasukim. One is, L'David Mizror L'Hashem Ha'aretz V'lo'a Tevel V'yosheva, right, that Hashem owns the whole land, and Miknaf Aretz Mirod Shamanu Tzvilo Tzadik, from the corners of the earth, we hear singing happening. So what's pshat with the two verses in Perek Shira for the Aretz? I think this is going to help us explain it. Let's take a look, source 27. V'Yerachayim Avortz Rola. And he says, V'Yerachayim HaKadosh brings down that when Cain killed Hevel, the ground was cursed, because how could the ground take in innocent blood? And from that moment, Nistam v'nechtam pia aretz, in the asterisk in 27, the ground's mouth was silent. It was as if it wanted to sing Shira, and it wasn't able to sing Shira like everyone else. And hence the pasuk, Miknaf ha'aretz mirod shamanu, from the corners of the earth, it sang Shira, which means it didn't sing Shira from its full glory because it was prevented, because it took in heaven. Now that Moshe Rabbeinu is asking the ground, as if to do tshuva, to take in these wicked people, now it's able to open its mouth and be able to have a tikkun, and it can be able to sing Shira. Let's go a little bit deeper and then put the whole picture together. He quotes an idea from Rav Schneur Cutler Zatzel in 29, who says, why were B'nai Korach punished in this way that they stood at Pitcha Shel Gehenim? Right? We spoke about this a few years ago, that B'nai Korach were like an island around them was this abyss of Gehenim. Why didn't just Hashem save them in their tent? Why did he have to bring them down here? And the answer really is to teach him a very important lesson. And that lesson is, the contention of Korah, which was such a problem, of Kikol Adah Kulam Kadoshim, is let's all serve Hashem in the same way. And any way we want to serve Hashem, we're able to. And Avo Ba'emes Yesh Mazatel Godol, Kikvod HaMelech Hilo Rak Me'elo Shomdim Lefanav in the Aaron 29 Be'eichal Machuto U'mishartim Lefanav. We make a mistake to think that only those who are in the Kodesh Kodashim, or only those Kohanim and Levim who are in the Beit HaMikdash, or only the men who are in Shul, that's the way to serve Hashem. No. El kvodoni talemini tgadel kamoke me'ilu omdim b'chutz v'osim shem avodas ha'melech. It's also by the guards who are standing on the front lines to make sure that nobody, enters into this palace and no one, overtakes its land. You know, Mirtz Hashem, it should just be, we're towards the end. Every time I say I'm towards the end, we just start all over again. So I can't say we're towards the end of this Sefer of Birkas HaShachar, I just gave it to somebody else to look at, and they just, like, tore it apart, and now I don't know whether I should just... Whatever, it's not your problem. We're almost toward the end of Birkas HaShachar Sefer, Mirz Hashem B'Shah Tova. Hopefully we'll get it out by Hanukkah. That's a great Hanukkah present. Be that as it may, one of the ideas brought in the Sefer is Rav Sternbach Shlita, who speaks about the Brach of Shasani Kirtzono. The men are in the palace. They're serving Hashem there. Where are the women? They're on the front lines. And if and one can't say that one is more important than the other, because there's no one going to be able to serve the king if no one is guarding the front lines to make sure that the king has a palace. And that was the message that Korach and we have to understand. We all have different roles, but all of our roles are equally important. And it's fascinating, moving to Source 30, that when Korach's sons sing Shira. Shir means worldly v'nei Korach, which is the capital that we say for Shir Shalom for Monday. Shir means worldly v'nei Korach. Gadol Shem Umlam Ha'od Bir Elokeinu Har Kacho. It begins by saying that where do you sing Shira? In Behir Elokeinu, in the Hashem's mountain. And then it goes on to say, Diminu Elokim Chastecha Bekerav Hechelecha. It moves to the inner courtyards. And then it says, "Kishimcha aval kishimcha lokim kein tilasecha al katvearetz." But then they learn, you know what? We can also praise Hashem at the corners of the world, because wherever you are, even at the pitcha shel gehenem, the entrance of gehenem, you can sing Shira. And that was the lesson that Korach had to learn. What B'nei Korach have taught us, right? We praise Hashem in a circle. Wherever you are in the circle, you're equidistant to the center. People have different stories in life, different challenges in life, and wherever we are, we're able to sing Shira. 31, that's what Shira is. Song is different kolos, it's different voices. There's high voices, there's low voices, sopranos, there's altos, there's all different parts. And if you just had one, you wouldn't have beautiful music. You need to have the highs and the lows. And that's true among people, and that's true within our lives. To sing Shira in our lives, an idea we've done many times in 35, is that in a piano, there are black keys, says Rav Wolfson, and white keys. The black keys are melancholy. The white keys are more, you know, vibrant. But you need to have both. You just can't play one. That's what our lives are about, that everyone needs to know that we have high times and low times. We as a nation have those who are on the, you know, in the trenches, and those who are in more, what we think, more exalted places, when everything is about serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was the lesson that had to be learned. V'ulai in the asterisk in 33, Yesh Lomar Sha'az B'Shah Shabala Aretz HaKorach Once this lesson was learned, now the ground is able to sing Shira. They're running either toward or away, however you want to understand it, to this voice. Shir zema aretz ki rak az tikna mashakul kola shir v'chol yisol nasu mipacha mikolze. They're running away from this voice, and this voice is the voice of the Shira. La shema aretz loa teva v'yosheba. Hashem owns the entire land. The kapitel we say for Sunday when the ground was created. It's a kapitel we say Mariv and Rosh Hashanah night, which is also a time of rebirth and a time of beginning. No, La Shema Aritsumoa, Hashem owns the whole world. Tevel V'yoshveba, and all of its inhabitants that sit in it. Because all of us are connected to Hashem wherever we are, whatever we do. And in all times and places, we have this relationship with Hashem. The earth is teaching us a lesson. The earth now, for the first time, is able to sing a Shira that it hasn't been able to sing really from the beginning of time. It was only Miknafa Aretz, Mirot Shamanu, Tzvilat Tzadik. It was only from the corners of the earth, this desire to sing. And now it's able to sing, L'Hashem Aretz Meloa Tevo V'Yosheba. And what a moment of truth, what a moment of reality, of being able to see with clarity We all have our jobs. Our jobs are different. We all have to be able to connect in this way. Just to add a third personal story today, we're on a roll. If we're on a roll, we're just going to roll with it. Somebody gave us for our Gemach, new art scroll book, our Mora in Uniform, I believe it's called, Rebbetzin Yurk, who was a personality beyond. This person gave it to me, it was her aunt, she thought it was an important read, and I think it's like, in my mind, the woman's version of Just Love Them by Rabbi Trenkzal, and again, it's like any person, i.e. any parent or teacher, it's a must-read just to get inspired. So the way I read through books is, you know, every 30 pages, you read a line or two, you get the sense of this book, look at the pictures, okay, good. So so I emailed this friend of mine who gave me the Sefer on Sunday, and I said, on the one hand, this was so inspirational to me. Like, wow, what you can achieve in a lifetime was, whoa. I said, on the other hand, I found it very depressing. Look at how much she achieved, and then you look at your own life and you say, OMG, where am I? So I was relating this to somebody, and they said to me, Shiri, you have it all wrong, and it's Mamish this Nakuda. You're not supposed to be her. If you're comparing yourself to her and saying, oh my gosh, you have so much more to do, you're right. But that's not what life is about. She's standing in her place on the circle, and you're standing in your place in the circle, and B'chasta Hashem, your life is full with what you're doing. Instead of comparing her to you, compare her to yourself. Am I living to the fullest of my capacity? And when you feel like if you add one more thing onto your plate, it's like a feather that's going to push you over, so that's a clear indication that you're living to your fullest capacity. And that's what we have to appreciate, that it's not about being Aaron Cohen. It's not about being. It's not being us. We have our song and our notes, and it's the orchestra being able to play together that's so powerful. Okay, my friends. We're up to our final idea. Level one, it was the ground. Moshe Emes and Taras Emes Vanach Debaadayim. It was the inner voice within, it was the people, rather. It was the inner voice within themselves. Level number two, it was the ground. The ground is able to sing Shira after all of these years that it was silent. What a sound! You almost hear it. L'David Hashem, right? L'David Mishmur, Hashem Haaretz Moa Teva V'Yosheba. It's screaming out. Hashem owns the whole world. Our job is to bring Kavod Shemayim wherever we are, whatever we do. Final idea, which is a little bit esoteric, but let's take a look, because its lessons are also important for us. Shmuel Pinchas for Pinchas Friedman, the year's Tavshena in Zion. The Arizal and Shara Psukim in Likutei Torah notes that Moshe Rabbeinu was reincarnation of Hevel, whereas Korach, who disputed his pronouncements and authority, was a reincarnation of Cain, Hevel's brother. Thus, just as Cain became jealous of his brother, Hevel, in their first incarnation, prompting him to kill his brother. Similarly, in this Gilgul, Korach was envious of Moshe. The Shlach Hadosh adds an important point. The punishment exemplified by the principle of Mida Keneged Mida, measure for measure, for constituted tikkun, for the earth being having swallowed up Hevel's blood, as an evidence in Hashem's pronouncement to Cain, the son of your brother's blood crieth out to me from the earth. Then the Shlach Hadosh has a fascinating thought. He analyzes the source of Cain and Korach's jealousy. He relies on an insight from the Zohar Kadosh that the Chedei Tzedat instilled this depravity in Adam and Chava. And therefore you have Hevel was born with Kedusha and Cain was contaminated by the Nachash depravity. Now, we're familiar with Rashi's comment named the Medrash that the Nachash HaKadmoni caused Adam and Chava to sin due to jealousy. Therefore, seeing as Cain was infected with the Nachash jealousy, he too was jealous of his brother Hevel and sent him to kill him. Subsequently, when he reincarnated to Korach, he once again became jealous. Thus we see that the root of Cain and Korach's jealousy stems from the contamination and depravity coming all the way back from the Yitzhak. That's idea number one. So the jealousy is really the jealousy of the Nachash of Chava, putting that jealousy into her, then had a genetic effect on both Cain and on Korach. Idea number two. We'll put all this together, Mirtz Hashem. After Cain kills his brother, he's told, Navanati Eba'aretz, you'll be a wanderer in exile on earth. With this pronouncement, Hashem alludes to him that he's destined to reincarnate to Korach, who will be swallowed alive for the earth. Unlike a dead person who cannot move about, he'll continue to wander through the depths of the earth, as Rabbi Barachana attests that he heard Korach and his followers crying out from the depths of the earth, Moshe Emes v'Tarasa Emes. Now, on a deeper level, there's another aspect of this punishment of Kayin. So on the one hand, Kayin's punishment is Navanad, you will be a wanderer. And that really is fulfilled through Korach, that he will wander his entire life down in the abyss because he's swallowed up alive. On a deeper psychological level, what was Kayin's punishment? His punishment of Navanad was that he would never find inner tranquility and inner peace. He'd always be moving about. And the only time he would have tranquility and peace was Shabbos. And Hashem gave him a letter of his name, an oath, a sign. People question what this sign is. So I'll bring down, it was a letter Vav of Hashem's name that was put into Kayin that was also supposed to temper some of the psychological angst of not being able to find any inner tranquility. Now, Mos and Shemos, in the end of 39, fall into one of two categories. Either they resemble Kayin or Hevel, the sons of Adam Rishon. The Neshamot from the category of Hevel are primarily good, whereas the Neshamot that possess the character traits of Kayin are affected by the corruption of the Nachash and its jealousy. Now, this is fascinating. We know that people are born with certain temperaments, and these temperaments may come from the root source. And again, people have different challenges to work through. That doesn't mean one is better than the other. We'll talk about this in a minute. It means that they're different challenges. Furthermore, in Shar Psukim, the Arizal teaches that Hevel's neshama is rooted in the midah of Chesed, and Kayin's neshama is rooted in the midah of Gvura. Therefore, all Kohanim whose neshamas reflect Chesed are the neshama of Hevel, and all the Levim whose neshama reflect Gvura represent the neshamas of Kayin. Having said this, my friends, Aaron, who was a Levi, who comes out to greet his brother and doesn't show any jealousy, he's able to take that inner Gvura, that aspect of strength, utilize it in a positive way to withhold feelings of jealousy. He's able to be metakein himself, and then he's able to be the Kohen Gadol. And this is why Korach is so jealous of Aaron, because they're both coming from the same Gilgal DNA of Kayin. They both have this wiring of jealousy. But here, Aaron HaKohen was able to take this wiring and be able to overcome it, and be able not to be jealous of his brother, the very same challenge, and therefore was able to become a Kohen Gadol. Why was Korach so jealous of Kayin? Of Aaron, rather, not just because he was a Kohen Gadol, it's much deeper than that. He was jealous that he was able to overcome this very same trait that he had within himself, that Aaron was able to overcome and become the Kohen Gadol, and that he was still suffering from this and had this tremendous jealousy toward Aaron and Moshe. Now, let's add one more nakuda, and then we'll see the entire picture. And I warn you, it's very deep. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos that talks about the four qualities: who is wise, who is rich, who is strong, who is honorable, correspond to the four letters of Hashem's name, the Yudkei Vavkei. Ezu Asher Sameach B'Chelko is the letter Vav. Chelko Chelek Vav. If you are able to appreciate the chelek vav, the portion of Hashem that's in you, you're not going to have this sense of jealousy. So Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that Kayin is wired in this way. And he knows, right? Im teitiv, you know, if you become better, you have, like Aaron HaKohen, you have the ability to overcome this. Nobody is set up for failure. We'll talk about this more next week in Mirat Hashem. We talk about introspection. Nobody is doomed that they say, you know, you're wired a certain way, there's no hope for you. No. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't, not only does he tell this to Kayin, that, you know, you could overcome, you could do great. He gifts him with a letter Vav. He gifts him with that letter of Hashem's name, which is connected to Ezu Asher Samech Bechoko. What makes a person really happy is being happy with what you have, being happy with who you are. So yes, you are created a certain way, you are wired a certain way. Embrace it. Be happy with it. So what we see here, something very deep before we bring to our final idea here, is that Cain is born a certain way, Hevel is born a certain way, and Shade is obviously the balance between both, the third son. When Cain falls, Hashem says, you know what? You fell. But you know what? I don't give up on you. Not only do I not give up on you, I'm going to help you out. How am I going to help you out? I'm going to give you the resources, the tools, that letter Vav, to recognize Ezu Asher Sameach Bechelko, so that when you feel this level of inner turmoil, like I'm never happy and things are never good enough. You may have people like this. We're always complaining. Oh, I wish it was better. I wish I had. Just look at that letter Vav that's imprinted in you and just be happy. This is how Hashem has made you. Appreciate what you have. Instead of looking at what you don't have, focus in on what you do have. You know, an idea that we've spoken about many times, Rav Rice brings on the Pasuk, that we say in the Kapitels of Halukah, Hanosein Shelag Katsamer, Hashem gives the snow like the wool, Kifur Ka'efer Yefazer, like the cold, Kifur Ka'efer Yefazer, He then gives you the ashes to warm you up. And one of the pshats there, and this is really the foundation of our life, whatever situation Hashem gives you, He gives you cold, He gives you the down blanket to help you go through it. He gives you the letter Vav. He doesn't put you in a situation without helping you. We say, Baruch Shamar, Baruch Gozer, Umekayim. Hashem gives you a Gzeira, a decree, Umekayim. He helps you be able to withstand this decree. He gives you the wherewithal to be able to deal with the situation. So when a person is in a difficult situation in life, look at Cain as that paradigm. You're wired a certain way. You're born with certain life situations. You have certain life situations happen to you. And you feel like, let me just, I can't. Ezu Asher Samech Bechelko. Look at your chelik. Your chelik vav. Look at the resources Hashem has granted you. The people. Even the inner wirings that you have. Other qualities that you have that you'll be able to literally use the vav as a hook. A vav is a hook in Hebrew, to be able to hold on and to be able to move forward. Now, final idea. We know the Tiferet Shlomo, or again, just to summarize this, in the double squiggly, in the mirror of the letter vav on his forehead, he'd be afforded the opportunity to overcome his inclination toward jealousy and lack of inner peace and harmony by being content with his life. Lot and life. 44. The Tiferet Shlomo here teaches us a tremendous chiddush. The earth merited being the mother of all creation. Now let's go at our final piece here. We have Cain, we have the Gilgul, is Korach, we have Moshe, the Gilgul of Hevel, we have one time Hevel being swallowed up in the ground. Now Korach, who is Cain, is being swallowed up in the ground, and we have the ground opening up its mouth. What does the ground represent? So we know the concept of Mother Earth, providing nourishment for all creatures like a mother providing for offspring, solely in the merit of humility and lowly spirit. She is content with the lot and role given her by Kadosh Baruch Hu, despite the fact that all creatures step on her. She produces fruit for them. It's for this reason that we pray, let my soul be like the soil to everything. Nafshi kafar lakol tiyeh. Elkinosaur, let us adopt her way, in bracket 44, and behave with humility and a low profile with this attitude. We will also become content with our lot. By doing so, we also have the privilege of providing all that is good and positive to those who surround us. You want to know a model of someone who's happy with what they have and not focusing on everyone stepping all over them? It's the ground. The ground, everyone steps all over them, and yet they produce food. They are the mother that takes care of all of us. This, then, is the implication of the pasuk, that the ground opened up its mouth and swallowed everything. In other words, when the earth opened up its mouth to swallow Korach and its followers, it did so to harangue them and all living creatures of flesh and blood with the following words of rebuke. So this is now 2B. What is it that the ground said? What business do you lowly human beings who are created from earth and are destined to return to the earth have pursuing the imagined kavod and whims of Olam Hazeh? After all, you will realize that a human being's fate is that he's here one day and the next day is already in the grave. That being so, learn from me to be content with your lots while you're still alive so that Hashem will not rush to return you to the earth. This is the message that everyone should learn from the Parsha of Korach. Due to the presence of the Neshama of Kain in a person personifying the Midah Gruah, it's as if a fire burning inside him, always driving him to seek more. Even after achieving his goals and receiving what he sought, he's incapable of resting peacefully and being content, for he's infected with Kain's curse, impelling him to ceaselessly pursue greater successes and goals. It's advisable, therefore, to connect with the letter Vav that Hashem imprinted on Kain's forehead, Ezu Asher Samech Bechoko. Believe wholeheartedly in the letter Vav, Bechelik Vav, the lifeline which HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides every living creature with the daily needs, and obviously the Koach of Shabbos. My friends, yes, there is that fire that pushes us on and on, but it can't do it in a destructive way. It has to do it in a building way. It has to do it in a way where I'm trying to build what I have and who I am, not out of jealousy of another, not trying to knock down another, but the fire of goodness. And this is really, we can almost hear the ground when we walk on it, screaming to us, why are you so unhappy? Why are you always kvetching? Don't you realize to appreciate what you have is such a gift? And again, that goes back. It echoes back to La Shema Aretz Lo'a Tevel V'Yoshveba. Hashem owns the whole world. He divvies out to every person exactly what you need. Sing your voice. Sing your note. Appreciate who and what you are. Grow in depth in who and what you are. That's the message the ground is giving. Because we are from ground and we're taken back to the ground. The ground says you're here for such a limited time. Utilize the time, utilize the energy to be able to appreciate, to be able to accept, to be able to grow with this realization and not spend your entire life with kinna, with jealousy of what you don't have, of who you're not, of what could be. Focused b'chelik vav in the portion that we do have. And therefore, my friends, Chodil Hashem Ki Tov Ki Lo Chazdo finished another shir. The voice of Korach is the voice of Moshe Emes, the Terasa Emes. It's a voice inside of us that's able to look around the world and see how we can better. It's the voice that each one of us has our note, has our shira to sing, has our special song to sing. And it could be on the depths of Gehenna, to be able to sing the song. It doesn't matter where. We are all here to serve Hashem. And recognize the ground is screaming at us. People step all over me, and yet I give to them. Focus in on the beauty in this world. Focus in on the goodness of this world. Don't focus in on all the negativity and all that you don't have. When we listen to this voice of the ground, we indeed will have created some level of tikkun for Korach and his members.